we are here with Deborah Marcino from OCCU. Yes. You're the Chief Marketing Officer. We went over this last year at MAX. Yes. So how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm excited to be here.
How's the conference? Have you been here the whole time? And if so, how's it going?
It's going just wonderful. I'm excited to be here and looking forward to tomorrow. We have two sessions and talking about member experience and the impact that we can have with credit unions.
Right on. So let's talk about the member experience, because I mean, that's it was even mentioned up on stage a couple of times already, and a number of people that I've talked to here, it's all about member experience. So let's dissect it. What exactly is the member experience? What are we shooting for here?
Okay, so that's a great
loaded question.
It is a loaded question, because we talk about it all the time. I mean, if you ask everyone, they'll say we have to compete on member experience. But when you really get down to it, what is it actually? And so what is really important for people to do is to think about, so you have your mission, right? Everybody has a mission. And then you have what your brand is. And so it's important to understand how brand and member experience play together. Mm-hmm. I think that's sometimes an easy way to try to describe what member experience is.
Right.
So you have your brand, and your brand is what, you know, differentiates you. It's the feeling that people have about your organization, all right? Or it's the feeling you would like people to have about your organization, but the customer really gets to decide that, right? So you set a brand promise. In our instance, our brand promise is more than you can expect, everything you deserve. That's the internal promise we're deciding that we hope to have our members feel about us.
Okay.
But really, what it comes down to is how our members experience us along the customer journey, right? That falls outside. That is the experience that they have along the different branded touch points of our organization. So we have to understand what all of those touch points are along the customer journey.
Okay.
And if you ask, there are so many of them. And it's really up to us to help define that customer journey map. And so that's why it's getting so much attention, because everyone's like, we have to improve the customer journey. We have to improve the member experience. But it really takes a lot of focus, a lot of leadership, and a lot of vision in order to be able to do that. And that's what I'm going to be talking about.
Well, and so who's responsible for this member experience, Deborah?
Really dicey question today. So I have some personal thoughts on that.
Okay.
But there are a lot of different organizations that in some ways do miss the boat, because they think, well, everyone's responsible for member experience because everyone touches it. And that absolutely is true in the sense that everyone does touch it, but you can't have everyone leading it. You have to have someone in charge, and that someone needs to be in the C-suite. And ultimately, the CEO has to be the champion. It does depend on how your organization is structured. Most Fortune 100 companies do have the chief marketing officer or a chief customer officer, chief experience officer leading that vein. And it makes sense. They're in charge of the entire customer journey. Others have a chief operating officer, perhaps that's responsible or encompassed in that chief marketing officer role. Others take a look at it a little different way, depending on structure. But really, it needs to be someone that fully understands customer journey mapping, really can play a role in setting that overall strategy. At OCCU, we have it live within marketing, but it is essential to have a full team of people that are supporting that, because it can't live in a vacuum. One of the biggest reasons that it fails is when you do try to do it in a vacuum. It can't. You have to have strong support with technology, with operations, with risk, all of those kinds of things. One of the things that we recently did was to have member experience camps in our organization, because we realize that everyone really defines that member experience differently. So if you asked anyone in, you know, an organization, well, what's a good member experience?
You get a different answer every time.
Absolutely.
Right.
You would say something different than I would say. I mean, you can say I'm sure you've had a poor member experience.
Oh, yeah.
And you could say that, just like I have. But we all realized on our member experience team, which is made up of different areas and departments throughout our organization, that we all had different definitions. So we came up with an MX philosophy that really helped us to define as an organization what is our philosophy around exceptional member experience. And what we discovered as we set the tenets for what that philosophy was going to be is that we have kind of some that we're doing really well at, others that are a little bit more aspirational, but that inherent in that, when you look at a customer journey, there are going to be natural tensions that exist. So I'll give you an example. Let's say that you have an online application and you're designing an online application for mobile banking. Someone may say, I want swift, accurate, swift and accurate. So I want that pre-populated, right?
Sure.
I want it fast, because that's what, most of the competition is doing. Amazon, pre-populate, that's what I want. I tell you, that's what marketing want. But then risk comes in, and risk
double-edged
is
sword.
Like, or people in collections, and they will tell you, one of our tenets is protect the member. And they'll say, absolutely not. We have to have them refill out that form, and we want them to verify, and you have to make sure they verify and recheck all of that information. Now, no one is necessarily wrong in that, but when we were going through the camps, we had all of our 350 staff kind of go through that exercise and realize that there are natural tensions in that member experience creation process, so that they realize that, it's not just one or the other. You have to understand the natural tensions that exist between those two.
And it probably opened up a lot of people's eyes.
Absolutely.
It's like, hey, so that's a different take than I would have originally taken.
Well, because you always think that your perspective is the right perspective.
Right.
And so sometimes therein lies us beginning to say, what's the right member experience? There are sometimes considerations. Compliance plays a role, or regulation plays a role, and you may not be thinking that in terms of, well, why did they make that decision, or why can't we do that, or this or that. And it's helpful to have that philosophy ingrained, so that when you're making big decisions about member experience, whether how you're setting up your branch, or whether you're making a loan decision, or how you're setting up some of your digital channels, you are, or even your processes, you're looking at it through the lens of what's most important to your organization and how you want to serve your members.
So I think your session is going to be standing room only, because I think a lot of people are in that same boat. Well, like,
yes.
What exactly is the member experience, and how do I make it good for everybody? Not
right.
Just the member, but
Absolutely.
It's got to be good for the internal folks as well, right?
Absolutely. And some of those aspects do impact us, and we have to recognize those, and it gives us new information when we think about, well, we can't do that because our system doesn't do that, or we don't have, we couldn't offer that to the members. But it opens up some creative dialogue too. Sometimes we may think about it a little more creatively if we are solving for a better member experience, where we say, well, if we did this, it might flood open more applications, and we might be able to actually add staff as a result.
Yeah.
So it really helps us by putting the members' wants and needs first. It really opens us up to a new way of thinking. It's also helped us really radically think differently in some respects. Not radically, we've always tried to think about the member first, but try to get out of that old thinking that I think a lot of credit unions are in the way of doing, which is, if you are thinking about product R&D, a business unit may think, oh, I want a new, X product, and they walk over to technology and they say, can our system do that? That's not really product R&D. And
That's an inquiry.
That's an inquiry. And that's unfortunately, we've had to do that for a long time. And there's nothing wrong with our industry per se, because it's a lot of times that's what we've needed to do. And it's been very successful. The credit union industry has grown and been successful. But we're at that trajectory when, we start facing Amazon offering checking accounts.
I was thinking.
We have to wake up, and we have to realize that if we're going to thrive and succeed and compete, we have to take it upon ourselves to ask our members directly about their wants and needs, and be thinking about it differently.
Oh,
There's the bell.
There's the bell.
I want to wrap up question here for you really quick. What are you, I mean, even though you're talking about member experience here, what are you looking for in particular at this show? What do you want to take back to your credit union from here?
What I want to take back to my credit union is really kind of a reflection of what it is that other credit unions are interested in, what some of their struggles currently are, because it's always good to get that peer-to-peer information and just inspiration in general. I mean, it's always good to learn. I'm in a constant state of learning myself. We never stop growing, learning and growing.
We should be.
You have to just continually soak it up.
I agree.
That's where I'm at.
Well, that's a great message to end on. Deborah, thank you so much. I appreciate it.